What exactly has happened with Antarctica's Larsen C ice shelf?
Well, the Larsen C ice shelf just shed a piece of itself that is the size of the state of Delaware. So this is a significant chunk of real estate. The ice sheet is about 1,200 feet thick on average, the piece that broke free. It is now one of the largest icebergs floating around that has ever been recorded by humans. It will inevitably break up as it moves to the north and warms. And I guess there's some good news in the sense that as it melts, it will not contribute to sea level rise because it's already in the ocean. Much as a glass of ice water, when the ice melts, the water doesn't come over the top of the glass. The concerning news to me, one of the concerns, is that we're finding that ice sheets, as they break up in Antarctica, are essentially barriers to the ice that sits on top of the continent, that 2 to 3 mile thick layer of ice where about 70% of our fresh water resides on the planet. That ice is flowing towards the ocean from land into the water, and that flow has accelerated in areas where ice sheets have broken out up to 4 times. And this is concerning because that is the ice that contributes to sea level rise and goes into the models that are projecting up to 1 meter of sea level rise in some cases by the end of the century.
So this particular Delaware-sized piece of ice, it will not in itself contribute to sea level rise, but it sort of breaks away and therefore other ice could flow from the rocky continent of Antarctica.
Correct.
And that could cause sea level rise, is that right?
Yes, that's right. And it's important to realize, too, that you can't pin climate change directly on this event because ice sheets break up now and again. I think what you can do, though, is look at the bigger picture. And we're seeing ice sheets both on the eastern and western portion of the Antarctic Peninsula, where I've been working the last 17 years, increasingly active breaking up. Not only that, but 87% of the glaciers on the peninsula are receding. And the sea ice, that ice that's about 3 feet deep, that doubles the size of Antarctica every winter, along the western side of the peninsula, has receded about 40% in the last 30 or so years. So all these things are speaking to the fact that the Antarctic circumpolar current, the largest current on the planet, is beginning to warm measurably, and that air temperatures along the western Antarctic Peninsula have increased in the winter by as much as 10 degrees Fahrenheit over the past 60 years. So as this warming occurs, we're seeing impacts on ice characteristics, and these have implications for the ecosystems, for the wildlife.
And I gather for shipping lanes also, right?
Yeah, although I would say that in terms of shipping, when these large events have occurred in the past, for example, the Ross Ice Shelf breakout in March 2000, this was a piece of ice a little bit smaller than Belgium. We're able to track these events quite carefully, and so the shipping implications really are quite minimal in terms of ships not being able to track these things and keeping a good record of where they are. I happen to lead an Antarctic climate change cruise for Abercrombie & Kent Travel every year, and I've done it for 10 years, and being up on the helm of the ship with the captain, they're really good about figuring out where icebergs are and keeping a distance from them. So it's really not going to implicate shipping in any major way or the Antarctic cruise industry.
And that's because the technology is so good that they know where this large piece of ice is floating.
Absolutely. They'll follow it with satellites, making sure that the ships don't have a problem with it because you don't want to lose your ship.
Right. Yeah. You don't want to hit it. Of course. And speaking of tracking these and technology, you knew that this big break of the Larsen C ice shelf was coming for a while. What is the technology that you and other experts use to know that something like this is coming?
Well, this is satellite technology. Essentially, we're using satellites to take images and follow the crack. It's been down to just a few miles the last couple of weeks, so scientists knew it was coming at any point. They predicted down, they knew it was going to be within a couple days, a couple weeks, months at the most, and they were right.
I heard some reports to the effect that scientists are not attributing this to global climate change, but given that this is happening in the same complicated but interconnected closed system, I wondered how that could possibly be. Were those reports just wrong?
No. I think there is some truth to the fact that breakouts of ice sheets have occurred in the past, certainly prior to human climate change. But I think that you have in my mind, I look at the bigger pattern of what's happening on the peninsula. This is one of many things. I mean, the fact that the glaciers are receding, the ice sheet is having an increased frequency of breaking up, the sea ice receding, and where I work at Palmer Station, the U.S. station, you know, when I arrived there 17 years ago, there were 15,000 breeding pairs of Adélie penguins in front of the station on these islands. When I was down at Palmer a couple months ago, we were down to about 1,500. So about 90% of those Adélie penguins have disappeared. And that's attributed to climate warming.
And that's just because the environment is not conducive to the way they live, the way they survive.
Actually, it's interesting. It's tied to the ice, in part because the annual sea ice provides a platform for the Adélie penguins to toboggan across and get out to the rich krill grounds where they feed on these shrimp-like organisms that are the base of the food web. Also, it's getting more humid and warmer, and it's snowing, ironically, more and later than it used to. So the Adélie penguins are genetically hardwired to come and lay their eggs about the same week every year. They lay their eggs, and then along comes an unseasonably late snowstorm and literally smothers the whole colony in snow. And when that snow melts, the eggs drown. So you can have an entire generation of penguins increasingly lost because of these unseasonable snowstorms, tied to this increased humidity. And then the other thing that's happening is the krill themselves, the shrimp that form the base of the food web, we've discovered that when they're teenagers, they live underneath the surface of the annual sea ice, feeding on little plant cells called diatoms. So as we're losing the annual sea ice, we're losing a habitat and a food resource for krill. And the krill populations are taking a hit. So all these things are conspiring to really change this environment.
Why is this important? I mean, who cares what happens all the way down there?
Well, that's a great question. And let me give you the answer that's closest to my heart. And that is, for the last 25 years, I've been fortunate enough to receive grant money from the National Science Foundation to work on an area called chemical ecology. We study chemicals produced by sponges and corals that live in Antarctica. And these chemicals are interesting because they defend sponges and corals from predators and things that want to grow on. They have ecological importance, but they also have the potential to fight human disease. And so here in the last 25 years, we've come across a compound in an Antarctic tunicate that's active against melanoma skin cancer. We just had a very exciting discovery of a compound in an Antarctic sponge that's active against the MRSA biofilm that's such a problem now. When you go to the hospital, you get an infection, they can't get it out of you. Sometimes you have to have your knee replacement taken out and replaced again because of this. So my point is that the seafloor of Antarctica has an amazing diversity of marine life that has evolved for millions of years. And the chemical diversity in that is something that we shouldn't squander. And these changes that are happening, the warming water, the increase in icebergs that are scouring the seafloor because the ice is breaking up, all these things are threatening that seafloor community. Not only that, but another project that I'm involved in is looking at king crabs that for millions of years have lived in the deep water around Antarctica, and with the deep water beginning to warm, for the first time are beginning to move up the Antarctic slope towards the shelf. And king crabs have claws. And nothing in this Antarctic marine seafloor community has faced a claw in its history. And so if the king crabs, because of warming, move up into this system, they could decimate the marine invertebrates that live there and have an impact on the availability of these potential compounds that fight cancer and different types of human disease. So that's a direct impact of climate change on this community that should be important to all of us.
On a lighter note, did this major ice event happen anywhere near McClintock Point?
No, it's over on the other side of the continent. McClintock Point is in the Ross Sea near McMurdo Station. So really, almost completely on the opposite side of the continent. You can't see it from where I am and where the ice sheet broke up.
Okay, great. I guess that's a tiny silver lining there. Well, thank you so much for your time, Dr. McClintock. Before I let you go, is there anything else at all you think our listeners or readers should know?
Well, I would encourage everybody to realize it's not just the Arctic that is losing ice and changing so dramatically, but Antarctica is also a laboratory for studying first impacts of climate change. Polar environments are sensitive environments, and they are the canary in the coal mine, and what happens there affects us here.